she will give birth to the Messiah. So let me give you my first point. The first point is this. Grace puts you in a place you can't get by yourself. Grace puts you in a place you can't get by yourself. You are here this evening because of grace. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that when Adam and Eve disobeyed, they should have died because God said to them, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Now, we could break it down and say, well, that was a spiritual death. That was a physical death. I think it was a total annihilation. And every step, every breath they took after that was because of God's grace. The God of the Old Testament is still as gracious as the God of the New Testament. And God gives us grace and he puts us in places that we can never be on by ourselves. If you believe in grace, you have to believe in the regeneration of the Spirit. Because God comes first. Mary didn't say, I'm the favored one. We know human race, and I'm sure there were girls and their families getting them ready, maybe possibly to birth the Messiah, because they had read the text in Isaiah that this girl, this virgin girl, would bring forth the Messiah. I'm sure they had beauty pageants going, oh, she will have the Messiah. But it's interesting that we come across a girl named Mary, because her name, first of all, means bitter and utter rebellions. It's not a good name to have. She is one that we see when the word is used in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. It means to be accursed, to have much pain, much strife. But here, Gabriel, who appeared a little bit before when he told Elizabeth and Zacharias that they were going to have John the Baptist. And now he's appearing to Mary and he says, hello, favored one. See, we miss it because the position to be in grace gives us avenues that we would never be able to be in. I mean, the Bible tells us we approach the throne room of grace with our petitions. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourself. It is the gift of God so that no one may boast. You experience salvation because of grace, God's unmerited favor. But we sometimes claim that we want God's justice. Are you sure about that? Because I don't want God's justice. I'm always going to plead his grace. Chuck Swindoll wrote a book several years ago called Shades of Gray. That was before the other Shades of Gray book. And he talks about the areas that are not black and white, but that are gray in our Christian walk or when we have to make decisions. And he says, you always err on grace. Giving grace, living in grace. No matter what the world calls you, God has his own plan for you. Now, your plan is not the same as Mary. Your plan, you're not going to bring in the Savior. You're not going to give birth to the Savior. But we're going to get there in a minute in point number 4. God has a plan for you. Did I ever think that I would be standing in the pulpit in Childersburg, Alabama, when I just said, God, I will go anywhere you want me to go? Absolutely not. But guess what? I'm here, and it's by God's grace. Number 2, grace unites us with Jesus. Look with me in verse 31 and 33. He said, and behold, you will conceive in your womb a bare son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give you the throne of his father, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. He addresses Mary, but she's not the important one. The important one is Jesus. Here's the issue that I'm seeing in today's time. Most of us want to check the boxes. You know, remember the, you remember those envelopes that we had back in the day where you could check your boxes? Was it Bible read daily? Any contacts, and you put your phone calls, and you put how many visits you had, and you turn that envelope in. They had us doing it in like second grade, Miss Helen Russell's Sunday school class, because they wanted to make sure, you know. And we of course put a quarter in there or something, whatever your mom gave you. Grace unites us to Jesus, and what I'm seeing this is more people want to check the box. More people are worried about getting things right instead of the relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the focus of grace. He's the focus. When Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he uses the same method as Mary does when he says, we're perplexed, but we've not been overcome. Why? He says, because the grace, and he tells us that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why does Paul open up every book in salutation and he says these words, may grace and peace be to you? Why does Paul point us in the book of Philippians when he talks about, I've got the accolades, but what I want to know is Christ? See, it wasn't about Mary. It was about her carrying the child. And that is Jesus. My question is, what does grace get you to do? We're here because of grace. We're saved because of grace. But if it doesn't unite you in a relationship with Jesus Christ, folks, you're gone back to the old in which he told the Galatians, what are you doing? Why have you left the gospel of grace? That gospel of grace is that I can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, I wrote it this way, so in case y'all didn't understand it, here's Corey's version or breakdown. If I was going to write a transliteration, hey girl, it's the Messiah you're bringing in. You got it? It's the Messiah. Let's get rid of all tiles. You're bringing in Messiah. He wants to unite us with Jesus Christ. You remember when Mary, the shepherds came to her and she said, she pondered those things in her heart of what they were saying and what they had seen, and that they found the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Point number three, grace positions us to see God's perspective. Like I said, Mary is perplexed. In verse 29, she says she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And then in verse 34, she said, how can this be since I am a virgin? And he's told her, look, you're going to bring in the Messiah. This little Jewish girl, they've been waiting 400 years. I'm pretty sure she knew the Old Testament. And I mean, Zacharias is kin to her, and he's a priest. God's position gets us to see God's perspective. And there's an interesting reason that I'm bringing up this, because right now the biggest thing that the opponent is bringing on social media is this, that Mary, it doesn't say virgin, it says little girl. The word is parthenos, and it means nothing except for a girl that has not had sexual relations. That's the way it's quoted or translated in the Greek. So when you hear this hogwash, it's like, well, it's not that she was a virgin, she was a young girl. Baloney, okay? She was a virgin. She had no sexual relations, and here she is going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit and have the Messiah. Can I tell you something? We are not going to understand everything that God is or everything that he does. But we got a good start out of it if you'll read this. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You're going to be perplexed like Paul was perplexed. You're perplexed, really, if you're a pastor, because you see the grace that God gives and you see people going in the opposite direction. And we preach to you and preach to you and preach to you. And there, as my granddaddy used to tell me, Everybody makes a decision. They might not just come down front. Perplexed. She was perplexed. But because of this grace, she was positioned herself to see the Messiah. Look what she says in verse 38. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done according to your word. And the angel departed from her. If you have never been in a situation, you're going to get there where you don't understand why God's doing what he's doing. Why am I dying? I mean, I tell my hospice patients, don't look at me. I don't have any good cliches to give you. This is hard. This is not easy going through the hospice, and you got a 6 months diagnosis that you're going to die. And this is not easy for the caregivers because they don't want to be there. They don't want to see you this way. But what do? We hold on to God with faith. And in the midst of that faith is a whole bunch of grace. Grace positions us to see God's perspective. Isn't that what we want to know? Isn't that what we drive to see with this relationship with Jesus Christ? I've been married 21 years ago, and it has taken me 21 years to go to see things in the perspective of my wife. Now that I see it, it's probably going to take me another 21 years to act those perspectives out. You know, why do we clean the house? Because we don't want it dirty. Why do we not leave the blankets on the floor? Because we don't want to get them dirty. Why do you take shoes off? Because we don't want to get the floors dirty and have to vacuum and mop and do all that stuff. It goes with God. God has his own perspective, and it is our job not to get our way, not to see things the way we want to see it, but to get his perspective. And you know where this begins, most importantly, is in your prayer life. My granddaddy was a World War II vet. He smoked cigarettes when he was in the war, quit smoking, didn't smoke for 45 years, got lung cancer because he smoked 45 years ago. And guess what? Me, little preacher boy, was going to pray that he gets healed. He died 18 months later. But can I tell you, that was the best spiritual journey I've ever been on in my life, because as I sought God in his healing, I began to hear God, and he changed my request, and my perspective became God's perspective. And it was grace, not because he got healed, it was grace because he went home to be in glory. Fourthly, God places us in grace profession. And yes, I capital those words on purpose. We are to profess and confess with our mouth. What happens to Mary? She goes to Elizabeth's house, and this is what she says. For he had his regard for the humble state of his servant. For behold, from this time and all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry good things and sent away the rich empty. He has helped Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants. And that was her praise. If you don't understand the grace of God, you'll never understand what it means to proclaim and praise his name. See, we think we deserve all this. Can we be honest? I mean, we really do think we deserve all this. I mean, we're white Americans. We definitely deserve it. But God tells us there's none, not one, righteous. God tells us that our righteousness is like filthy rags. God tells us that we're enemies of God. God tells us that we hate the things of God. But the Bible says, for it is by his grace you have been saved. The Bible says, for God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we might be called the righteousness of God. If he gave us nothing else than salvation, we would have a lifetime of something to praise God about. Our profession is to proclaim him. Our profession is to praise him. And our profession is to be an ambassador. Grace leads us to good works. Good works cannot lead you to grace. The Bible tells us that in the book of Ephesians. He who prepared good works for you to go in. Why? Because it is by grace you have been saved. Do works matter? Yes. And we could get into James and Paul's battle. Works matter. That's how I know you got grace. I'm pretty good at picking watermelons. You know why? Because I watch YouTube videos on how to pick a watermelon. All right, let me tell you. You got to get one with a yellow belly. And you gotta thump it, okay? And if you do those two things, it's going to be a pretty good watermelon. It's the same with Christians. We're to look at each other and go, she's got good fruit. They got good fruit. As a friend of mine, Joe, says, I got good fruit, but they're raisins. Humble guy. Grace leads us to good works. God, good works cannot lead you to grace. We went to Labor Day weekend, and I preached Sunday in Alex City, and we left there and went to Julie's parents' house. And my father-in-law is a Christian counselor. He works with people coming out of the occult, and he has decided he's going to retire from counseling. So we were sitting down eating, and this is a great conversation you want to have, and he goes, I'm telling you, because you're going to be preaching a funeral, I want two songs sung. He said, I want to, when we all get to heaven, and he said, I want that song that talks about the day I'll meet Jesus. So we were like, what's he talking about? And finally, I just like, day we meet Jesus. And this one came up, and here's the lyrics. Y'all know it? Listen to this. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, the one when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. I pray that you will leave this place understanding that Mary was favored to bring in the Messiah, just as you are favored and are covered with grace as being a child of God. You are a child of God because of God's grace. Nothing else. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time that we can gather together. And we thank you for your grace, which is amazing. And we sing the song so many times. But Lord, I pray that we would never forget the grace you give to us. And we might not see Gabriel in our lifetime coming and knocking on our door, or coming through the door and telling us that we are highly favored, but we know that we are favored because of what you've done on the cross for us, because of the blood shed for us, because of the grace that has saved us. And as Scripture says, it's not by work so that any man can boast, but it is a true gift of God. Thank you for our salvation. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.